Hey yo, remember me? We're the football cast you thought we'd never be. Welcome to Some People Are On The Pitch. I am your host, Bobby Hurst, and this is the podcast about football catered for our needs and not yours. We've been away for a while, but we're all well. Some of us have been in Europe, some of us have been injured, Sam. Some of us have been playing again, Barry. Of us have been doing those secret government official secret things pains. So, let's talk about the football. What a weekend it was.
No intros.
I'm going to do the intros, hold on, Barry.
Barry doesn't do anything without being introduced.
Oh, mate, they're not going to know who we are.
Yeah, I know, mate. So, well, let's crack on with the intros straight away. Yeah. And we start at centre-back and our resident angry young man. He is more northern than killing your brother's kestrel. He is frostier than a Nigel Pearson press conference. I can confirm that you should definitely never eat his pizza. It's Mario Sammartelli. Leave it, Balotelli. He's not worth it. Connolly. Hello, Sam.
Hello. You all right?
I'm not too bad. Next, I go to the left, 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 left wing. And our resident socialist. He is more to the left than everything Beyonce owns in a box. He hates the word banter. Don't get him started on paper fans or enforced fun. He's just recovered from his latest bout of polio. It's producer Pain Dog Painy. 2 weeks in a row, Pain.
Yeah.
Admittedly, 2 months apart.
No, no.
But still two in a row. Welcome. Next, Barry, up front. And our resident Aguero star striker, great air. Always injured. He's more into Spurs than Knights of the Round Table. And he's wearing one of the best cardigans I've ever seen. But unfortunately for you listeners, this is radio of sorts. Right, let's crack on with the football and the scum Liverpool. Man United.
Oh.
So, we all saw the game on Sunday, boys. It was a good game. It had it all. We've got to start at one place, and that's Stevie G. So, Stevie G had somewhat of a brain explosion. How many seconds was it on the pitch?
38.
Some people are on the pitch, and then some people are back off it. So,
nice.
Gerrard, is this last year? Because he's, as years go, from that Denver Bath slip incident, as years go, Gerrard's had a stinker.
Mm.
I mean, there have been some good points, I'm sure, at some point. But is he spoiled his Liverpool legacy? Or is it just one of those things? He's always going to be a legend, but has this tainted his legendary status for you, Sam?
Well, it's not going to go down in history, is it? For the last two seasons, he's slipped, cost him the Premier League title, and then again, it's cost him a big. You know, I mean, it wasn't going to be the be all and end all that game, in all honesty, but it's not painted him in true colours. I don't think he'll mind. I don't think the Liverpool fans will necessarily mind, but in his own head, I think he'll be he won't be too happy.
Do you buy into this thing, Barry, that he'll have been sat there through the first half, getting frustrated, and Liverpool didn't really have a kick in that first half? I hate to say it, Man United played really well that first half, and last week against Spurs, as I'm sure you would like to forget. So do you think, whatever I asked you,
do you buy into
the question?
That he's been sat on the
bench?
Oh,
they're buying into it. Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. Like, well, that's part of the reason why he's going, isn't he? He doesn't want to sit on the bench at this club, which he's been the number one main man. So I think for him to just sit there and watch the game, when people were calling for him to start as well, and this last big derby, coming on, the atmosphere, the game got the better of him, and he's come in wanting to throw a few challenges about. Rogers said it himself, didn't he? That he wanted to put in a few challenges. The first challenge was quality, really.
Beautiful tackle,
hard tackle, typical, that sort of side footed,
yeah.
Like, block tackle that he puts in. But obviously, he just went one stamp too far.
One thing that surprised me though was he left one on Herrera I'm like, if you're going to leave one on a United player, you know what I mean? I'm here, son. Don't leave it on Herrera, you know what I mean?
Well, he left it on Mata, didn't he?
Well, he left one on Mata as well.
I think he was just going to pick him off one by one. He was just making his way through the team.
But he must have been, I don't know what was going through his head to do. Because when I first saw it, I was like, he can't have stamped on him. Can't have done it. Then you look at it back and
it's blatant. It's blatant as I am ugly.
I tell you what, and being a footballer these days, social media must be a nightmare for
them. Well,
imagine seeing that, those heat maps and all that, the rest of it that comes out.
He's been destroyed this week. Producer Payne Doug, any thoughts on Gerrard before we move on?
I think the reason he kicked out was, I think it was just purely instinctive. I don't think it was Herrera. Herrera came in pretty hard.
No, he got booked for the challenge.
Admittedly, missed him more than caught him, but Gerrard clearly took offence and committed an offence. And, I don't think it's tamed. Obviously, it's not been a great year for him, and it's sad for him to go out on a low. But this is a guy who's led his boyhood team to everything apart from the Premier League. He's won the Champions League, the FA Cup, the League Cup, UEFA Cup. You know, he has won,
everything else.
At times when that Liverpool team hasn't been at its strongest as well. And I think that's what he'll be remembered for, not for his last couple of seasons.
Yeah, definitely.
Like you said to Sam, it's not going to ruin his legacy, not one bit. They'll remember it now, but once he's gone, then all that will be forgotten, and it'll just be all the good times that he had.
Istanbul, that'll be the high point.
That's his defining moment, isn't it?
Well, Liverpool have shot themselves in the foot a bit with that loss as well, because there's now a 5-6 point gap between Man United and Liverpool. Man United in fourth. Man United under Van Gaal have had a renaissance, playing really good stuff without Van Persie, without Falcao, without Di Maria. Di Maria came on yesterday, but
his passing was dreadful. Apart from that one pass,
he looks off it. But he looks just not the same player, doesn't he?
Sometimes injuries can be a good thing for the team. At the start, people could see the balance and the shape and. He was putting square pegs in round holes at the start of the season. And now Van Persie hasn't been firing. Di Maria did well when he came in. And then Carrick coming back in has given him a bit of balance. But now, without Van Persie out, putting Rooney where his best position is, playing up front. And him being up top and being this 4-1-4-1.
And Juan Mata.
And Mata coming back.
Fellaini's... You can say what you like about Fellaini, but in that side, the way Man United are playing at the minute, he's key, especially in defence as well.
Yeah.
I'd lost count. Well, I wasn't counting, admittedly. But all the defensive work Fellaini gets through, I mean, he was a white elephant for Moyes. He was a big, hairy chain around Moyes' neck. But Van Gaal seems to be getting best out of Man United, unfortunately.
At the start of the season, you were thinking, how are you going to put Falcao, Van Persie and Rooney in the same team?
And the answer is, you can't.
That was the basic answer. So, obviously, Falcao's not going to stay. Van Persie being injured, Rooney being the main man, is obviously the way to go.
Which begs the question, why did Van Gaal try and do it for so long? I mean, if he's known as being this strict and ruthless manager, but in all honesty, that's not what we've seen. We've seen a man who has been sort of determined in the face of criticism to do what has turned out to be the wrong thing and play all these players out of position or wherever he thinks that, and play the wrong formation.
He's got a soft spot for Van Persie, isn't he? He's always going to try and fit him in, and he hasn't been on form. And to do that, he's had to move Rooney around, and then to do that, he's had to move someone else around.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all played FIFA, and we've all tried to squeeze every possible
attacking option into Man
United. Get the high 80 players in there, and then.
I mean, I used to put David Beckham as a right back in the England squad. Never played with him as United ever. just telling the listeners that.
But I mean, credit where it's due. United have been great for the past.
Last couple of weeks, they've been really impressive.
But what can the fact that they've had such a terrible season before this and their position in the league still now, what does that say about the Premier League and the strength of the Premier League?
Well, wait there, Payne, because we're going to come on to that.
But before, they have spent a lot of money.
They've spent a lot of money, but just before we move on from Liverpool Man United, we've got to mention the Liverpool fans. Who held back Mario Balotelli on that second? He's not worth it, Mario!
Leave it, Mario!
Good for the team, Mario!
That was great. I love that. I watched it like, and honestly, it was the funniest thing. Yeah. Did you imagine what they're saying to him as well? And Mario's gone, and he's just afterwards got.
Alright, I'm cool, boys.
And he probably did save him from doing something stupid.
He should have been booked. He was already booked, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was already booked at that point.
He hooked his leg.
So the supporter sister was getting retweeted on Twitter as well. She's like, classic seeing my brother hold back Balotelli. You know, like, getting retweeted by all the journalists.
And what about Phil Jones, who just comes in like a wrecking ball? Is there anyone with a worse tackling technique in the Premier League than Phil Jones?
Boris Johnson-esque is what is. Well, what,
you know, he came in at the back end of Scholes' career and he's clearly taught him well.
Paul Scholes has been having a word with Phil Jones. Right, you just touched on it then, Payne, and we are going to talk about it now. What's going on in Europe, boys, with the English teams? I think it's the last 16 of the Champions League. Is it the last 16 of the Europa League as well? Yeah. Cool. All the English teams are out. Is it... well, it's going to be a number of things. What's the main reason for you, Payne? You brought it up. So what's the main reason for you... for happening, if you had to put it in one thing, I know it's a bit of a crap question because there's loads of things.
For me, it's a question of, have we overperformed and had a very big purple patch
for
the past few years, which is making this little bit of a shake seem worse than it is, and that next year we'll have a bit more of a solid foundation, and really it's been from the high of the highs to the low of the lows. And whether we'll find that evens itself out with the occasional. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether I'm sort of buying into this where that's it. Where the English teams are all terrible. I mean, there is a bit of a gap between the teams. But you know, you think Arsenal went out away goals. Chelsea went out away goals. You know,
it is the worst way to go out of a tournament, isn't it? Away goals.
I think that should be done.
Wenger wants it.
Because the League Cup, they've changed it now, so away goals count after extra time.
Yeah.
Which is something you could look at. I mean, yeah. So, for you, it might just be, it's just one of those things, some good years will come with some bad years. Well, you wouldn't be panicking too much.
I'm not panicking too much, I'm just saying we've had some very, very high years for the English teams in the Premier League.
Well, I think there was one year, there was three English teams in the semi-finals.
Yeah.
Barca won it that year, but it was an amazing Barca
side. I mean, you do look at some of the other sides and you think there is a bit of a gap there. But
so is it because, Barry, do you think this is the weakest Premier League we've had in a few years? By that, I mean... It's always competitive, the Premier League, but are the top sides a lot better than the lesser sides? Is the gap been shortened?
I think the gap's closed up. I think it's disappointing. Chelsea's European campaign was the most disappointing.
Yeah, because she really did fancy Chelsea.
They should have been semi-final, at least material, and then from there it's anybody's game. It's just...
Selling Luis.
Yeah. You've got to think with him that they've just had burnout. Like, he's played the same team the whole way through, hard season.
He's retained
the rest of them can do it. I mean, it all swings and roundabouts. It goes through phases. Like, England had their phase from about 2005, 2004 to about 2010.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, obviously, like, Germany has had a renaissance. Obviously, Barca and Real Madrid are always going to be there, but Atletico
and
are there
France
now.
As well, French. French
teams. Obviously got their money.
Is it just a case of there being more money now around European football? Where, mind you, saying
no,
that...
No, but I mean, the Premier League's just had a hefty,
the Premier League's
hefty
just
hefty
had a
sum,
hefty...
But I think the Premier League is definitely the most entertaining league. But then I think at times that... can hinder us in Europe is that it's not just about entertainment. It's about going to Munich. It's about going to Legia Warsaw away and doing a job.
Yeah.
And not just going for this gung-ho entertaining for TV, but going there, getting a 0-0, getting a scrappy 1-0 win, which we're not at the moment really doing.
Sam, do you think... do you like the idea of this winter break? Now, I'm for this winter break maybe, but plenty of English teams have won the Champions League and not had a winter break. So do you buy in that we need a winter break? Would you like to see one? I mean, we'd lose football at Christmas and we'd all just go mad.
Not in 2022.
It'll be January, wouldn't it, the break?
Yeah, well, January. Well, I think it's just... before Christmas, so like the week before Christmas is the last round of matches for. They have 3 weeks, I think.
Are they 3 weeks?
What do you think, Sam? What?
I've always said no against the winter, but if it is after January, then maybe. But I've always thought that with England, we have one of the best leagues, and it's high octane. As Bobby was saying, the whole length of the league, and every team has got can put a job on, you know, the top four.
Well, we saw Burnley beating Man City last week.
Whereas you go into Spain, there's three teams there. I mean, there is a couple of given games, but a lot of them are just. I mean, you watch them; they're basically practice. They're like practice matches that they're doing at in the training ground.
Mm.
They're just dancing around and doing nothing, and that's not. I mean, if you put that over the length of a league, a season, you know, these players aren't going to be as knackered as players playing in the Premier League. I really think, like, I know what Barry's saying, like, it does go up and down, but I really think that just because we've got the best league, it is going to, you know...
have a knock-on effect. Yeah. Lovely. Well, it's all right then, let's move on from Europe back to the Premier League, boys, and... We're getting to that point of the year where we start looking at run-ins, we start talking about who's going to play for England. Well, there's an international break coming, rather. Who are your player and young player of the year up to now in the Premier League?
So,
well, let's get Barry out of the way, because we all know what Barry's going to say.
Which one do you want first?
Let's go for young player of the year.
No, I might have a few surprises in store.
No, go on, young player of the year.
Young player of the year, I'm going to go for Harry Kane.
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
And player of the year.
Player of the year, let me just check my notes. Harry Kane.
Beautiful comic timing there, Baz. Beautiful. So Harry Kane, it's hard to argue, it's hard to look past Harry Kane. Amazing year, he scored an hat trick at the weekend. One of them was a deflection, but still, you've got. He just seems to. Like, he's got that.
He's got that knack.
Habit, like Van Nistelrooy had it.
Mm.
Just been like, you don't know why he's scored so many goals, he's just there.
But it's one of them, but exactly that. You're just looking at him, just going, oh, it was only a tap in. It was only a deflected shot. And that's, I think Alan Shearer said it right on Match of the Day when he was just like. Whoever it was, the other pundit, was just like, I was
Jason
only
Roberts.
Yeah, like on the Saturday, was like, I was only a tap in, a deflection, and a penalty. It was just like, but that's what some strikers have made a career out of.
Yeah, and including just, you, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, he's just like, but they all count.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's the rest of the strikers that are not getting those tap ins, penalties, and deflected shots. But then obviously that's not just his goals. But his all round play, he's changed Tottenham as a team. And you're kind of expecting him to have that drop off, which sort of young players do, like Berahino sort of come in, get that enthusiasm, adrenaline comes in, and then you sort of peters out.
But I think his head's in the right place as well. It's obvious he's going to play for Spurs. He's got an affiliation with the club. He's going to play for them at least the next 2 or 3 years, you'd say, at least. Whereas players Berahino, sort of, he's had his head turned, and he said, oh, I don't know where I'll be next year. Kane seems more settled in himself, you know what I mean?
He's kind of everyone's maybe like second favourite player. So you've got your own team, but because he's just there just to play football. That's all he wants to do, go out there and just play.
It's a confidence thing as well as scoring goals, and it can do him no harm to be, you know, playing in training with, you know, Soldado and Adebayo and looking at them and going, I am by far the best striker.
If it wasn't for Harry Kane, think just how pad your season at a bin, right. Baz, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it'd be like the first 2 months.
Well, let's move on from Kane. Is there anyone else? I had one that I thought, well, Payne, I'll let you say.
So I'm getting young player of the year again, Eden Hazard.
Hazard again.
He's not been consistent enough to be player of the year, I don't think. I still sometimes find he goes missing occasionally. And when he is there, he is. I mean,
he is a different class for that. He's the standout player in that very good Chelsea team.
Yeah,
you'd have to say.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, you've just got to look at a few Chelsea. Matic, maybe you could argue with him with a shout.
For player of the year, I mean, player of the year, mine is Harry Kane as well. But I tell you who ran him close is David De Gea.
De Gea.
Those are the two players in the league this year who have won their teams the most points.
Yeah. Harry Kane. Actually, technically, that's Ericsson, but I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Without David De Gea, Man United would be in no way near as strong a position as they are.
Yeah,
but he can still get young player.
No, he's 24. Yeah. November the 9th.
That's not a bad shout, actually. So we've got a three-person shortlist so far. Hazard, Kane, De Gea. That's three out of the six. They're usually named six. So, Sam, you got anyone you want to add to that?
Well, I've got Kane again for young player.
Yeah.
I'm going for David Silva for Prelude. I think everyone's forgot what everyone was saying at the start of the season for about 4 months. About everyone was, you know, I was going to say something else. That everyone was praising him for ages, saying how good he was. And how
Noel Gallagher's favourite ever player.
And he is still amazing. It's just that the rest of the team hasn't been that amazing around him.
What I love about Silva is just the way he keeps the ball. Yeah. Like it's just like it's on a string attached to his feet.
He's great, and you know they were talking about him. There was a time on Match of Day that we were talking about him and analysing, saying how good he was for you know a good couple of months.
He's had injuries, hasn't he, Silva? He's had a couple of spells on the sidelines, but I'd certainly say.
Every time he plays, he makes a difference.
He's arguably been City's best player this year. You could argue Aguero at the start of the year, but since Aguero's come back...
I think
back,
he gets into every team in the Premier League. And yeah, maybe.
So that's we've got what we got there. So I'll take that. Silva, maybe...
I think as well, maybe John Terry.
John Terry's had a renaissance year.
A pretty good season.
I think it's quite striking how... None of us have mentioned any Southampton players, even though they've had
an amazing season.
I mean, you look at Fraser Forster, who's been inspired in goal. Unfortunately, he's injured now. You know, remarkable yet unremarkable. But like Jose Font.
Yeah, you know, the thing is with Southampton though, they've had a lot of injuries and players have come in
and just stepped up
to that. Like Yoshida, Gardos. Target, Ward Prowse has been in and out of the side. The Dutch fella who came in for a bit. Southampton's for me are the team of the year. Well, or what works well could try harder award or something. But yeah, I'll take that. So it's pretty much Harry Kane or Hazard are your top two. De Gea, so it's going to be one of them three. We'd say yeah. Yeah? Lovely. Right. Let's move on to El Clasico. Before I start, did we all watch El Clasico?
Yeah.
Watched highlights.
Do we all agree that it's one of the worst things we've ever seen on a football pitch? Tell me what's good about it, boys. Tell me what's good about El Clasico.
There's flashes of absolute genius.
Suarez's goal,
and then like someone will go on a jink and run, and there'll be a nice little move, and then at the end of the move, there'll just be someone will like accidentally swing their arm, and then someone will go down holding their ankle for the next 5 minutes, and then five players will surround the referee, and it's just like
it's a joke.
Barcelona, come on! It's the two best teams in the world.
I agree with you, it's a joke, but it's not a joke because it's not funny. At all, you know what I mean?
Suarez went down and that got
the first booking.
Yeah, the booking. I was like,
and then Pepe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then from that, you're just waiting for Pepe to go down from Suarez to try and get him booked. You're like, what? You're trying to get each other booked and sent off, and that's how you're trying to get your advantage.
And the Mascherano, did you see the Mascherano one with Ronaldo? Just embarrassing, and he tapped him on the shoulder to say, come on, man. And he rolling round again. It was one of the most embarrassing things that I've ever seen a group of men do.
I tell you what, though, Messi doesn't do it.
No, Messi doesn't
people try and tackle him in the box and he doesn't go down. He did it against City. I think someone came in on him and nearly took him out in the box and he jumped over it and tried to score. But, I mean, Joe Hart was a brick wall that night.
Joe Hart had... Ultimate worldly. Hats off to Joe Hart for that performance midweek. Yeah. Let's go back to El Clasico though.
Well, it's just Spanish. It's Spanish football in general. It's a lot of foreign football. It's creeping into the English game.
Definitely because I was watching it with a French gentleman yesterday, and I was like, "Don't get me wrong,
gentleman."
A French man. I had a gentleman caller, and I was like, "Well." We had there was a language barrier sometimes there. But I said basically, this goes on in England, but this is how can you watch this every week? I'd love to get a stopwatch and time how much of the game was people rolling around complaining to the ref. Fair enough. I thought the ref had a fairly good game, mate. I mean, yeah, he booked half of the outfield players were booked.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah. 10. Well, 11, that was,
I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, 11 of the outfield. Anyway, a lot of them. El Clasico.
Compared to the Liverpool Man United, like arguably one of the biggest derbies in the Premier League. Now, can you imagine some of the challenges put in that game?
Yeah.
Put them into the Clasico game.
Well, Suarez would still be rolling around now if he'd have got that Mata tackle off Gerrard. And, this is another thing. How much do you not miss Luis Suarez? Mm. Even when he has the moments of brilliance, I was like, I do not miss seeing
this
you
is another
every
argument on the Champions League kind of thing. I would much rather win the Premier League than win the Champions League.
Like, would you?
Yeah, definitely.
Barry?
Definitely.
Well,
it's
been in the Champions League.
It's a moot point for me and Payne as well.
It's something on top, and it is nice to go. I understand for the fans, it is nice to go to, you know, Bayern Munich, go to wherever. But just by the football in general, I would just it just puts me off. I, you know, Barry knows this when I'm watching, you know, us City playing in the European leagues. I just can't stand it. I was just sitting there angry at everyone just diving.
You're angry
around,
at the players, you're angry at the ref. European, well, it's a mass generalisation. I hate doing that, but European referees seem to buy into this cheating and a bit more. But it is creeping into the English game. El Clasico, sort out your stuff. You're going to be the best game in the world, best players on show. Let's just see it, yeah?
Sort out your fans as well. Did you see them trying to punch Bale through his car window?
Oh, yeah. Gareth Bale's a scapegoat for the president who's taking on the, because there's this paper. Oh, it's all
I wouldn't
politics.
Be surprised if we saw Gareth Bale in maybe a Man United shirt with Di Maria going the other way.
Yeah, I'd love to see Bale back in the Premier League for any side. Like I like to see
scoring the winning goal to keep
shirt.
Man United fourth.
Yeah. So you don't think Gareth Bale's going to come back to Spurs then, Baz?
Yeah.
All right. So, I just want
that special relationship you've got with Real Madrid.
Yeah, this relationship where they just take all our players and when we ask for them back.
I just wanted to, in a few sentences, ask you what. So, Spurs look like they might miss out on the top four now.
Yeah.
Since you beat Arsenal, you've been Spurs again.
Yeah.
What do you need, do you think, to reach that next level?
It's definitely right now. Harry Kane starting the next. I think Champions League is pretty much gone now. It'd be too much to ask the teams above us to start the last 8 games to lose 2 or 3, and for us to win every game. We've conceded too many goals.
Yeah.
In fact, that's pretty much it. Going forward, now we've started clicking. But do you know what? At the start of the season, I was had a fight, we're still in for a chance with fourth. As long as we're there and thereabouts the last couple of games and we're not just going to give up and the season peter out, that Pochettino's first season, the team that he started the season with to the team he has now is unrecognisable to the players
absolutely.
That he's playing in. And he's got his team now, he's got these young players coming through and
exciting
for next season.
Maybe for Spurs it's more important for them to keep the likes of Loris, Eriksen, Kane will stay, but and maybe, like you say, new defence. I'll move on quickly because we are running out of time a bit. Sam, City. There's all this talk of City need a big bring and buy sale. Blue Peter style, totaliser the lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to ask you. Who would you like to get rid of or who would you like to keep? I'm going to ask you who would you like to keep because I think it'll be a shorter list.
I'd like to keep Kompany, Zabaleta, Joe Hart, even Yaya Toure. Do you know what? I'd love to get Pogba. Get rid of Toure. Bring someone like Pogba.
Everyone
would love
Pogba.
To get, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But someone like, you know, someone in that kind of, like a Matic kind of player.
Yeah, yeah.
Pellegrini, nowadays, I'm not too sure on him. I mean, we've got, you look at someone like Diego Simeone. And what he does with Atletico Madrid, I mean, they're an average bunch of, not average, but he gets them playing, you know, and beating the likes of Real Madrid.
To be fair,
Ruben Thomas scored a penalty.
I think what you're trying to say for Simeone is that his players will run through walls for him.
Exactly. I'd say player for player, we've probably got a, if you know, on paper we've probably got a better team than Atletico Madrid, apart from a few, you know, Griezmann or I don't know.
Well, there's, I know what you mean.
Probably paper, but
paper maybe.
But there's a lot of who just aren't good enough. I mean, you're looking at Navas. I liked it.
You
what he does.
You were a fan of Navas.
But his crossing is terrible. Like, you look against Barcelona. He had a corner, and if it doesn't go past the first man. And that happens too many times.
I think what's happened with City this year for me is a lot of their players have hit a bad run of form.
Well, we've struggled with financial fair play as well, and there's been but even still, the signings that Pellegrini's made haven't been up scratch.
Well, Mangala, 32 million.
I mean, he's looking better though now.
His
strength is amazing.
He's set himself a very.
He's looking better, but 30 million.
Yeah.
I mean,
you put the
it's potential, and it's just.
I think there's a lot better defenders you can get.
You can nearly buy Andy Carroll for that.
Yeah, you can. Oh, my lord.
I think there does need to be a bit of 35
million for Andy Carroll makes everything seem better, doesn't it? lovely. Well, I just wanted to ask you about City and Spurs quickly. I'm sorry we talk about City and Spurs every week, but hey, it's our needs, not yours. should Kane start for England? England have got two games coming up. I'm going to put this to you now. We've got a qualifier on Friday against Lithuania.
Yeah.
I would start Kane in the Italy game, in the friendly. I think Welbeck and others have done a good job for England in qualifying so far. Throw Kane in at the deep end. Would you agree with that, Barry? Do you think he'll thrive in Turin? Would you have him automatically starting?
Play players on form.
Yeah?
Play all of them. Play Kane, Sturridge and Rooney. Lithuania, Wembley.
Sturridge has pulled out today.
Has he pulled out?
Yeah. Hip injury.
There you go.
Surprisingly.
That's two Liverpool players.
Yeah. Payne, you were just rolling your eyes. Would you? You want to start Kane? Are you cautious of Kane? Or I'm sick of saying Kane. Let's go.
That makes it easier then. Like, put Kane and Welbeck up front of Rooney behind.
No, just put Kane up with Rooney.
Yeah, Kane and Rooney.
What's Welbeck doing there? Yeah, if you want to play Welbeck, put him on
Welbeck's
the right.
Welbeck's one he's been starting.
To be fair though, Welbeck's scored a lot of goals for England.
Why not? Play Rooney behind him.
Yeah, but that's exactly what United are doing. Now United are putting Rooney.
They're playing the diamonds, but it's Lithuania, man. It's just like...
Yeah, but why are we wasting Rooney?
Why are we playing the diamond?
We've just had this talk.
We've been playing the diamond, Rooney in that position.
It's not even for a player worth accommodating, like, Welbeck.
Just put him there.
I love it how an England debate can just get everyone going, no, I'm right!
I think we all, though, can agree on what the hell is Andros Townsend doing anywhere near that squad.
I think he's been playing alright, Townsend, recently.
Alright?
Alright, then.
Well, is that what it's come to, an England squad? If you're half-decent, well, it has.
That's right for England, though.
Well, yeah, alright. Well, we'll move on for England. We're going to play a bit of Premier League word association. Because sometimes when I listen back, I feel like we've not mentioned all the Premier League teams. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to go through each of the teams, and each of my panellists is going to give me one word to sum up their season. Does that make sense to everyone? Does everyone understand the concept? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sam? right. So we'll start with Villa. One word, Barry.
Sherwoody.
Sheerwoody. Pains.
Turgid.
Without swearing, sir.
Goals.
Yeah. Or lack of. I'll add a word for you.
Well, that's right.
Wait,
no,
it was one word. No, it's fair. Right, next up, Swansea. Sam. Swansea. Pain, Swansea. Solid.
Pretty
Swansea. they're two words that have never been used together before. Pretty and Swansea. Lovely. Sam? Lovely. Gary Monk done a fantastic job that year. They're 5 points off their best ever total.
Yeah.
We like that.
People wrote him off.
Man City. One word, Baz.
Disappointing.
Poor.
Great.
Lovely. West Brom.
Pulisic.
You can't just answer the manager with a sissy on the end, Baz.
But go on, Payne.
Turn around.
Nah, turn around. Sammy?
Well, yeah, same. Turn around.
Cool,
isn't it? It's all the same kind of pattern.
Yeah, it's all right. We're doing all right. We're getting some laughs.
All right, okay.
The Toon Army. Sam. Go on, you can
Ashley.
Say. Ashley. Ashley.
Mid-table.
Annoying.
The Arsenal, Barry.
Crap.
Pains. Oh, he likes Arsenal, Payne. He's a sympathiser.
Yeah, what's a nice word?
Surprising.
Bounce back ability
is a word, Sam. So, yeah. Nice. Yeah. The Saints, Southampton.
The Saints. Fandabidozi.
Overachievers.
Uprising.
Oh, they were three good ones, and we liked Southampton. Burnley.
Close.
Dicey. Close.
Resilient.
How did we lose to them?
hashtag. How did we lose to them? Stoke.
Stokey.
Unremarkable.
Plain.
Palace.
Well, I've got a lot of love for Palace, just because of the fans. Awesome.
Not too much silence, Pates.
Second half.
I know what you mean.
Lively.
Ah, oh, man, there's a lot of teams in Premier League, isn't there? We got to hurry up. We got to pick up the pace. Spurs.
Caney.
Standard.
What? Promising.
Leicester.
Pearson.
Disgrace.
We've endeared ourselves to Leicester fans with every word. West Ham.
Big.
Sam.
Barry. Come on.
Chairman.
And I've got another word for West Ham. Well, mainly the fans. Get real. Get real, West Ham fans. Sunderland.
Say it, Sam.
Go on.
Rapey. Allegedly.
We've just had a load of allegedlys there. We'll not get another one for Sunderland. Liverpool.
Resurgent.
What's this one?
Liverpool.
Stampy.
Injuries.
The scum. I mean, Man United.
Money.
Underachievers.
Oh, yeah, I don't
want to. Yeah, alright. Hull City.
Ooh. You looking at me?
Yep.
Tigery.
Just.
That's a good one.
Unlucky.
Chelsea.
Coasting.
Yeah.
Mourinho.
Champions, I would have said. QPR.
Lost.
Have they turned up yet?
Same old. And finally, Everton.
Have you done all 20 teams?
That's all 20 teams. Everton.
Have you been listening
to this? I don't feel like 20 teams.
Everton. Europa.
Worn out.
What happened?
Well, that was the Premier League Word Association. Don't say we never mention every team. It's just happened, and look how bad it was. No, I quite enjoyed that, boys.
Stop tweeting and emailing.
Yeah, stop.
Ask us to talk about Hull City and QPR.
That was my favourite. Hull City. Right, boys, we've got 5 minutes left, which means it's time for
The other one ready.
It's alright, we can run over a bit.
Sam's things.
Well done, we've got the music this week.
Sorry, I was just doing it.
The MOBO Award winning, Brit Award nominated, 5-time Grammy winning, BAFTA Lifetime Achievement Award winning, Sam's things.
Sam's things.
Yeah, the
now. Sam's things.
Do something about it.
Sam's things.
Now.
Sam's things. You remember the intro? No prompting. So, Sam, you're a simple man with simple needs. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. And. But as well as being a simple man of simple needs, you love football, that's true, isn't it?
I do love football.
But at the same time, Sam, as you love in football, there are things about football that sometimes annoy you. Sometimes they're not things that annoy you, but some things you'd like to see.
Perplex me, yeah.
Perplex you. Wow. What are they this week?
This week, I think I might have covered it before. Probably have.
It's the end of the season, Sam.
Yeah,
just get a recap.
We can have a recap. You know what I mean? We've not got a massive demographic.
You only get so angry.
Can I speak?
Sorry, Sam.
Right.
Make him angry.
Diving. I've probably covered it before. We've covered it in this podcast today. But I'm just... It's not about the actual... Well, it is. The actual diving itself. It's what we can do to stop it. Right.
Got a few ideas.
So, I mean, the standard, we can call it up to a board of divies. Board. The board of diving.
Have like a
retrospective action board.
Retrospective action board. And we can put a fine on there, or we can ban them for some games.
I think a two-game ban, not as bad as like a straight red, say, but a two-game ban... Watch it stop overnight.
Exactly. But there is the problem of how do we prove
what
that this giant... Now I've got an idea.
Okay.
The snickometer. Like in cricket, all right? So we have to attach... I mean, it's going to take a bit.
It's going to take a bit of science.
It's going to take a bit of science.
Essentially, I know what you're saying.
We could get it in 50 years.
Yeah, it's the 21st century.
I reckon it could be done.
Yeah, the snickometer.
There's so much contact between players at the top half that...
Yeah.
How do you know there's contact at the bottom?
Exactly. Well, they pull their shirt.
Huh? These are all things we need to
contact and noise shows up on the snickometer.
Yeah.
Just for a cricket.
Or we just get someone like, you know, Neil, who can be the fourth official, Neil Razor-Ruddock, and he can be the fourth official and go, look at it in 10 seconds and go, no, I wouldn't have gone down.
I think if you get...
No one's getting a free kick.
If you get
found... that's kind of like...
If you get found guilty of diving, you have to take one stomach punch from the manager that you dived against. No one would dive against West Ham. No one would dive against Leicester. And you know what I mean? That might work. Maybe not. Anyway, let's move on to your next Sam thing.
Right. Another thing that's been getting on my nerves is people leaving early. And I've covered this before, but... At games.
Yeah, go on.
It's getting late. So maybe the clubs can introduce a free pie scheme. So if you stay the whole 90 minutes, you get a free pie. Now I know what the biggest thing for people leaving early is to get home for the wives or whatever, you know, or for the husbands, depending on if it's a woman or a girl. To Mr. Traffic, gee whiz.
If you go to a football game, you should expect there to be traffic, to be fair.
Well, exactly. So give them a free pie, or, you know, maybe something...
Like a Costa coffee stamp that you could get at the end.
Maybe,
someone just stamping. You've stayed till the end. You stay till the end for 10 games, you get a free game.
Or actually get a free football shirt at the end of the... season.
Sounds expensive.
They'll never do it, but...
It's not expensive for these clubs if they want them to stay, because it looks stupid and looks ridiculous. I mean, you know, it happens all over the city.
Your art's definitely in the right place, mate. What's your next Sam thing?
Well, I haven't got any, because I was going to say about the Balotelli thing and how it was great.
Oh, it was great.
You ruined it for me earlier.
But I ruined it.
Bobby. Has anyone else got any Sam's things?
I think you've covered everything.
I've got a Sam's thing. It's the number of sirens that come down this road. Is this a main road for...
Well,
emergency
there's a fire
vehicles.
Down there, and there's someone getting murdered over there. So.
Fair enough.
Right,
Allegedly.
Time for... Dough!
Not really doing like an outro.
I know.
Bobby, you've not been...
Sorry.
Have you?
Dom's still listening.
Dom's still listening.
Hey, Dom.
We'll push for time, boys. We've got 30 seconds to do prank the prank.
Right.
So, right, it's time to see who's going to join. Naismith for his wonder miss. Messi for 12 career penalty misses. Michael Oliver for booking Chadley when he did something. Wenger and Mourinho and Martin Atkinson, Pellegrini, Anelka, Mourinho again, and whoever Payne said last time. And I'm happy to announce that Steven Gerrard is joining the Unplankables. Wilfred Boney, Mangala, Sepp Blatter, honorary chairman of the Unplankables. Yeah. Andre Mariner sent off Gibbs instead of Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Surely the referee did it this week should be on there as well.
Well, we'll see. Okay. Vincent Tan for being Vincent Tan. Chris Foy and linesman for the Vertonghen goal.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Steven Gerrard for his 32nd cameo in his last game against Man United. But Frank the Plank, my candidates all give candidates, whatever you are, you all give me a player who's been Frank the Plank for this week. I decide who it is. Barry, off you go.
Neil Swarbrick. Easy, done and dusted, I'll have the prize now.
Who's that?
Neil Swarbrick's a ref who sent off Dawson instead of McCauley.
Mistaken identity.
And they're not appealing it, West Brom.
No, they have, it's been transferred.
Oh, has it been transferred?
Yeah.
Oh, they can do that now.
I thought if you sent off the wrong person, then you could just rescind that.
Yeah, because me and my dad were saying it sort of works out.
It sort of works out. See, that's happened before, isn't it?
It happened to Oxlade Chamberlain Gibbs, and it happened to...
Just get rescinded, and then the other person didn't get the card, so...
Yeah, it sort of
works out alright.
It's been transferred now.
It's been transferred.
Maybe they've worked out that loophole that's not a loophole at all. But anyway.
Yeah. But at least it can't be. Well, it's
only. So what's that ref's name?
Neil Swarbrick.
Yeah. Sam?
Mine is the Fenerbahce fans.
Go on.
It's a lot of people.
Because there was a striker, Emmanuel Emenike.
Yeah.
He's
been on the internet.
I've been on the internet today, and I've found out my little plank today. And because you probably might have seen it yourself, missed a chance, and the fans got on top of him. I mean, he missed his own fans, that must be said, for missing a chance. And yeah, so I think that's
Fenerbahce fans, whoever you said. Pain dog.
Neil Swarbrick.
I'm going to try and get a loophole there.
Oh, Penny. Ooh,
well, he does a call for loopholes.
We know he loves a loophole.
So, you said Gerrard was unplankable for his stamp, but how about his apology? Which mentioned everyone but the player he stamped on. I thought it was ridiculous.
He did apologise to the Queen.
I remember you texted me and was like, what did he say? I said, I can tell you what he didn't say. Sorry to whoever.
Well, I don't think
if he's not sorry to whoever?
Well, I think he should say it anyway.
He did stamp on a Man United player. This isn't a normal player we're talking about.
It's very true.
It's a Man United player. But, yeah, if you're going to apologise, maybe apologise to the person you stamp on. I'm going to give it to the Fenerbahce fans. Not just the Fenerbahce fans, but all people who are racist in football. All people who are racist.
Everyone else, though. Everyone racist out of football.
Just people in
racist. They're okay. That's what Bobby said.
So, the winner of Frank the Plank this week is racists. Well done, racists.
Well done, racists.
Can we give them more than Frank the Plank?
Not really, Penny. I mean, if you want to start an army, that's or something. But otherwise, say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, Barry.
Goodnight, Barry.
Say goodnight, Sam.
Goodnight, Bobby, Sam, everyone. The
and
world.
If you have joined us to this point, you have listened. We really appreciate it. Send us a tweet.
Why?
We'll never reply. And goodbye. Thank you. Bye.
Woo!